نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد هادي الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وهادي الفضل اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم
الله سبحانه وتعالى this whole universe, the whole creation is based on hikmah, wisdoms. And the biggest wisdom of Allah Ta'ala's in this universe, in this creation, is that everything, every incident, whatever exists, whatever is present in this world, it has a message. And that message is this, that Allah's marifa, Allah's nearness, attain it. Allah's love, attain it. And recognize your Lord, your Creator. This is the whole creation's objective that Allah Ta'ala made. In the dunya, one thing that we see in the world, which most of all we see, distresses, problems, issues, some sort of problem or issue a person's immersed in mentally, physically, related to wealth or money. There's no specific group in this. There are rich people in this, there are poor people in this. Sick people and healthy people are also included, educated people are included in this, and non-educated people are included in this, scientists are included in this. All sorts of people are immersed in these issues. We, according to our own methods and thoughts, we think that, this person's fine. He must be happy. He's got no issues. But when you go close to him, you'll realize that more than that person, there's nobody who's got issues more than that person. So in reality, in this dunya, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's world, these issues and problems that arise, and this is all attached to any type of person in the world, whether it's a king, the richest of people, or if he's the poorest person, whatever level, status, everyone experiences similar issues. Every individual has his own specific issues. The poor person's got his own issues. But the situation is the same. Distress and problems. Someone's stuck in an issue. Somebody's trapped in some conundrum. What's the reason for this? The reason is this. That this is also due to Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. There's a wisdom of Allah. And as I said in the beginning, Allah has one hikmah, one wisdom. That everything in life in the world has a message, that understand Allah Ta'ala's creation and get near to Allah and attain the love of Allah. How can a person through problems and difficulties attain the love of Allah? This is the big point to consider. Big point to consider. Sometimes health comes, sometimes distress comes, sometimes hunger, sometimes poverty, sometimes issues, sometimes quarrel at home, fighting at home, arguing with somebody outside. Constant ups and downs in the life. Some people think, when I get a pension, then I'll sit and relax. You can never relax. Or when this occurs, then we'll relax in life. But then another distress arises, another issue arises. So definitely there's a big wisdom behind all of these occurrences. It's a big hikmah, big wisdom. And shaitan, what's his function in all of this? The insan, he doesn't allow the human being to understand the hikmah behind problems. He'll lay a big net. And he won't allow the human being to understand the hikmah of Allah. Because if he understands Allah's wisdom, then he's attained the path to attain Allah's nearness. And then he'll arrive to Allah's nearness if he understands the hikmah. So especially here, about distress, difficulty, this is a big path to Allah. This is a big path. All the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah, those who attain Allah's nearness, without this path, they didn't arrive to their heights. Without this, they didn't arrive to their heights. Now you have to look here, that this is a very fantastic route and path that makes a person arrive to Allah's ma'rifah, and we run away from this. We run away from this. So Allah has put this in place, it's there, it's reality. So what does shaitan done? What function did he play? Is that he doesn't allow us to understand the hikmahs behind issues and difficulties and problems. If we understand it, then he will lose, shaitan. Then he knows that the believers will arrive to Allah's nearness and love. But we need to understand Allah's hikmah's wisdom, that what wisdom has Allah put into this matter that has affected me? Look here. Every difficulty behind it, Allah has definitely placed a hikmah, wisdom, a reason behind it. A reason behind every difficulty, issue, problem, an individual came to a wali Allah and he said, Hazrat, today is extremely hot. Extremely hot. This is in Karachi, this incident. So then he said, he was a wali Allah, he had arrived to the path and he had traveled on the path, alhamdulillah, through the path of difficulty, and he had to give tarbiyah to his student and he had to deliver the message as well. He said, what heat? He said, it's extremely hot today, it's a very bad situation, everyone's suffering due to the heat today, everyone's suffering. The air conditioning's not working, the fans, you know we talk like this, don't we? That's not working, this ain't working, it's too hot. So Hazrat then replied that you haven't even considered the heat that Allah Ta'ala has made. But behind the heat, have you not thought about the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has put behind the heat that He's given? Allah said through this, Hazrat said, through this same heat, Allah Ta'ala create so many fruits. You like to suck on the mangoes, but you don't like the heat. If there was no heat, then how would the mango come into fruition? Yes, that you have the climate where there are hot climates, then the melon or the mangoes, different fruits, you know, all these watermelons and mangoes. So Hazrat said that Allah's given you the desire to eat, but you don't like the weather that comes with it. But that weather through which Allah Ta'ala creates these fruits, yeah, we don't like that weather. If we didn't have this heat, then where would the wheat come from? Where would the plants grow from? How would they grow? Thousands of germs and bacteria Allah Ta'ala eliminates through heat. All of them, they die due to the extreme heat. And dates, they thrive and grow. All the dates, how do they get manufactured? How are they created? That when the heat comes down, Madinatul Manawwara, then the best dates, and most of all, the quantity you find in Madinatul Manawwara. More than 100 varieties and species of Medina dates I'm talking about. Medina. What's the reason for this? Because most of all, why? Why is there a variety? Why are they all different? The different specific. It's not the achievement of the dates or the earth. This is due to our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose blessed feet trod on that blessed earth. Yeah, that's why from Medina it became Madinatul Manawwara. MashaAllah. So brothers, how would the fruits come into being if there was no heat? Can they come through the cold weather? The cold climate? So what was the situation? That man who came with that question mark, what was he looking at? He was looking at the physical heat. But Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah, he didn't consider it. Say subhanAllah. Look at the difference here. And the Wali Allah, because their style of thinking was what? That he was remembering the ni'mahs of Allah, Allah's favors, not the physical heat. SubhanAllah. So this is the point we need to understand, biggest point. Whenever distress comes, difficulty comes, issue comes, calamity comes, tragedy comes, what do we do in our lives? We start to shake. Oh, I'm finished. Oh, this has happened to me. Or that. We say this verbally, oh, I've died, or I've finished, or I've lost everything. But Allah Ta'ala has created all occurrences behind that issue, the ni'mas, we don't think about that. And this is the biggest path and solution for the difficulty. Shaitan has hidden the wisdom behind all the difficulties. Shaitan has eliminated it. Every second, whenever you see, you find a person, the first thing he will utter, the statement, oh, today this is happening, there are big problems going on around us, this happening, that happening. When two people speak together, then 99%, I think, they start from the issues, the negatives, the problems. They start from the difficulties. I went to do this and that happened, this didn't happen, this I didn't achieve this, he became sick, this happened to me, this happened to that person. We always start from the negative end of the spectrum. But if we compare and assess overall of the difficulties and all the ni'mas of Allah, then difficulties aren't even equivalent to a dust particle. There are millions of ni'mas Allah Ta'ala has given to the moon. Millions and millions of ni'mas and favors and gifts. For example, if I get sick, okay, it's not nice to be sick. Obviously, it's not nice. May Allah Ta'ala not give that difficulty. Or let's say you get a flu or a severe headache. A friend came to meet me. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He said, oh, I've got a lot of flu. Oh, this flu is pestering me. It's a bad situation. Do dua. Oh, I'm struggling. I'm finished. Oh, get rid of this flu. And when I'm speaking to you at this moment, then at that time that I am looking at that person, or I'm focusing on the flu, but I'm not focusing on my Rabb's ni'mas. That's when I've eaten food, I've drank water, my hand is fine, my eyesight is watching, my ears are listening, my body is stood here. These are all ni'mas of Allah, gifts of Allah. One difficulty comparing it to it, there are millions of favors and gifts of Allah compared to the one difficulty. My hand's functioning, my feet are functioning, my eyes are working, my body is working, I'm eating. You're not eating cold, you're eating hot if you want. You are cautious, you're eating egg, you're eating everything, your digestive system's working, everything's functioning. But despite all of that, we put that to one side and we run towards complaints, criticism of one difficulty that's confronting us, and we throw it down in front of Allah. Oh, I'm not achieving what I want to achieve. Another complaint. Yes, let's take, Allah could take your eyes, Allah could take your hand off, Allah could give you another sickness, Allah could put you in a difficulty. Allah is the Khaliq, we are nothing. Everything of ours is in Allah's control. Or is it not in Allah's control? Yes, or are we totally free, we can do what we want? So this is one sickness or one difficulty. How can we compare that to all the other things? Our start from that difficulty then. Whenever you're talking, assessing, thinking, you start from the negative. One person, another person went to meet a wali Allah, a sheikh. And he was, he had a fever, high fever, sweating, bad situation physically. Sweating, high fever, strong, high temperature, heat. He said, Salam, Hazrat, how are you? We'll listen to his answer. He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm very grateful to Allah, Allah's karam, Allah's grace. Today I had food in the morning, Alhamdulillah, it's been digested. And just now I drank some water and I'm fine, Alhamdulillah. And I walked and my body was walking, my hand was working. First he was grateful for all of Allah's ni'mas. Why am I telling you this? First he repeated and he remembered all Allah's ni'mas. Then he said, because you have to express the reality, he said, I've got a little bit of a fever, Allah inshallah will correct. This is what... Yes, and I'm doing dua, I'm taking Allah Ta'ala's, I'm doing dua to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala gives ease. Look at the difference here. What a big difference in the approach, the mindset. That the first person, and here Shaitan, what does he do? That in this position, he exploits the difficult scenario person's confronted with, Shaitan. Because we are Sufi Hazrat individuals, so we will assess these minor points so that we can look at ourselves, our physical life and situation. Because through these we will find Allah's. We just have one method, do big ibadah, worship my brothers. Allah Ta'ala has given us beloved and beautiful methods that it doesn't even take a second to get to Allah's nearness. Not even a second. You understand? So, this second example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a path. Think, how to think, how to assess. If a difficulty is coming, a tragedy is coming, a problem is coming, at that time shaitan, he's got a great and fantastic opportunity here, shaitan. And through these opportunities, if you take the percentage out of across the around us, the people, he has destroyed most people. What does he do at that time? Whoever has a distress, then he grabs that person. Shaitan grabs that person. And batani, because we are weak spiritually, internally is nothing there. He hasn't done anything to strengthen himself internally, spiritually, that individual. Shaitan preys on that person. But shaitan preys on the weak person. So he approaches that person and then he plays with that person who's confronted with worldly difficulties. On his difficulty, first action, what does he do? He makes that person lose hope. Totally loses hope. Oh, you can't achieve this, what you want to do. It's too hard. And by chance, then if it doesn't happen, then he's a goner. Then his battery totally goes flat for that poor person. He goes, oh, yaar, I'm gone now. Then shaitan reminds him, Ibadat, you used to pray a lot of salah, namaz. You started the hajjud. You used to do du'as to Allah. You used to do this worship and that worship. And he makes him realize. And then he becomes munkar of those actions. And then depression overtakes that person. Then his situation, he makes him weak in his physical actions. Shaitan does. Shaitan makes him weak. This is his procedure. Methodology. He puts that person into distress and negative thoughts and depression. Then words like come out of his mouth. Oh, I don't feel like praying salah. I don't know why. I don't enjoy. I open the Quran. I don't get the enjoyment. I don't know what's going on. Do you hear this from people? Is this not a big percentage of people? Take the percentage out of people who talk like this. Oh, I'll go one day if I get time. I'll go one day. Just due to one issue, difficulty in life, that person. And shaitan, he suppressed that person. He was weak. He didn't have the protection. The individual didn't have the protection against shaitan. And then shaitan overtakes that person mentally, over his mind, his thinking process. Because every hikmah and action that takes us towards Allah's marifah, shaitan puts a net over that, a trap to make us weak. So he puts that individual into depression, bad thoughts, negative thoughts. And his passion, it goes away. And then the enjoyment that he feels in ibadah, all the good feelings, everything turns to negativeness. All my issues in my life are not being fulfilled. And then criticizing and complaining to Allah openly. Oh, is this written in my destiny? Why is it just me who's suffering like this? Why is it written in my life? Why is this happening to me? Commonly, whenever you see it's just with me, it's these things happening. Or wherever I put my hand, I don't succeed. I don't get what I want. Whatever business I do, it doesn't run, it doesn't flourish. This is what we do. This is what we say. Subhanallah. Is this the case or not? So what is this? On that side is Allah's hikmah. Allah says, every occurrence is due to my hikmah wisdom. Every incident is due to my current wisdom. What should happen for a mu'min when the sickness comes, difficulty comes, problem comes, what should he seek? Allah's hikmah, his wisdom, find it, look for it, understand it. Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom, Allah's supreme plan. He wasn't acting that wali Allah, eating, drinking. First his vision was on his Rabb, his creator. Allah, you are so merciful, so graceful on me. I'm drowned in your grace and your mercies and favors. And the biggest favor is that Allah, you've allowed me to believe in you and your Rasul. Because if I die in this state as well of difficulty, then is this a minor favor of Allah that I'm departing the world with iman? The sickness was going to come anyway. Difficulty was going to come anyway. This problem, difficulty, calamity, tragedy was going to come anyway. But this obstacle was going to come anyway, this barrier. But the mu'min should still be thinking, then even despite this barrier and obstacle in my life, Allah, your glory, your marifah, your nearness should be visible to me. Yes? Because if some worldly action you had and it didn't get completed to your target, that's part of life. Success and failure. And failure is more. The person who's on the failure path in the world, shaitan grabs that person more. When a person fails on a worldly basis, then that person needs to be extremely cautious because shaitan's door has been opened at that time. The door. He wants to take me through that door of doubt and he wants to take me against my creator. Shaitan does. And how will he make me against my creator? Yes, he will make that person commit shirk or worship. He won't make you do shirk or worship idols physically, but he'll make you the mushrik. There are different forms of shirk. Not physically just worshiping the idol, but he'll make that person a mushrik. He'll take that person opposed to Allah. What a big point in learning here. Big point in learning. Why is this? Difficulty. The world is a place of ups and downs. So, those people who are looking for Allah's marifah, Allah's nearness, Allah's love, Allah's muhabbat, alhamdulillah, those people, they work hard on this state, on this condition. They keep assessing their condition and they look for Allah Ta'ala's hikmah and wisdom in everything. And for example, this general discussion we're having, even the reason for this discussion, is to, for us to learn, and that Allah's hikmah and wisdom for us to recognize it, that if tomorrow difficulty comes or problem comes, hundreds of problems could come. It was the world is a house of problems. So what do we do at that time? Our position should be such at the time that a problem confronts us naturally, fitratan. Not that we make it up or fake. Naturally, I should be such, my real natural state should be that I shouldn't be worried about whatever comes in front of me. Rather, my focus should be towards Allah's ni'mas and grace and mercies. I should be embracing that. Listen, why? Because the more, here now we are finding Allah's nearness, the more the human being, he recognizes Allah's favors, he's always thinking about Allah's favors and gifts and Allah's grace and Allah's mercy, he keeps thinking, the more he does that, the more he will attain Allah's muhabbat and love and marifat and nearness, and he becomes a wali Allah. You don't understand what I'm saying? But we go on the opposite path, the other way. That's the way we're going down. Okay, we're running after ibadah to attain Allah's nearness. We're doing ibadah. Fine. These are paths of finding Allah's nearness. Ibadah, worship. But what's the situation on the other hand? Is this. That when difficulty comes and we can't bear it, we can't persevere it, what do we do rather? Instead of that, despite worshipping, we criticize and complain to Allah. We make a fuss. Even though we're doing ibadah, we're making a fuss. We as people do this, don't we? That's such a complaint. So we'll bring ibadah in front. Look, I prayed salah. I prayed namaz. And even after namaz, I don't get what I want. Even after praying, I don't get this. I did these wazifas, these prayers, these recitations. Even then, I'm not succeeding in the world. I did duas, I'm not succeeding in the world. We do this, don't we? So what we learn here is that this habit, to make this habit, that every second the insan, he's assessing, he's thinking, he's contemplating. Every second he should be focused and his attention should be towards Allah's ni'mas, Allah's gifts, Allah's favors. Always, this is the fantastic point to learn. Understand this point what I'm saying. Always, every second, keep focusing every second towards Allah's favors, His mercies, His on us. Allah, look at this ni'mah of yours. Look at your glory, Allah. You made me do your tasbih. You allowed me to say Subhanallah once from my mouth. Why? Because I've read this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever says Subhanallah between the heavens and the earth, the space is full of nur and light. Imagine, is this a minor gift of Allah? Tell me. This is a minor gift. But despite that, if in opposition to that, if something in life is difficult, you go to the car, the tire is punctured, you forget saying Subhanallah, and you just run after the puncture. Oh, I'm finished now, this puncture is... And his whole mindset goes negative. Finished. So sad. What strength of iman do we have? What ibadah do we have? And this is the difference between the awli Allah and the normal people. Why is this difference created? Why? Why is this difference? This gap. That I spent quite a lot of time with Hazrat Sahib. And you know this, he was a great wali, quite a lot of time, a duration of time, different places of Medina, in Makkah, on Hajj, on Umrah, there was Ramadan, there was Khankas as well. Different environments. There was Khalwa and there was Jalwa. There was calmness and there was passion. There was, individually I was in their company and amongst people. And I saw the great glory and status of the walis of Allah. They're so unique. And during eating, yes, they're eating like us. They're drinking like us. The food that we eat, the bread we eat, they're also eating the same prayer mat that I'm stood on. Hazrat Sahib stood there and he's praying salah. Alhamdulillah, we're reciting. They are reciting the same. We recite Durood Sharif. They recite Durood Sharif at Tahiyyat. Isn't it? So what's the difference then? Where's the difference come from? This is the difference, that in their vision, always they are focusing on Allah's praise, His glory. Praise beyond praise. Ni'mah upon ni'mah, gift upon gift. An individual came to Hazrat Sahib. As I said to you, every moment, every example, I used to see the glory and the great practice of the Wali Allah. Look at the great status of the Wali Allah. That's what I used to witness. Yes? And I was immersed in observing and looking at Hazrat Sahib's tajalliyat, Hazrat Sahib's magnificence. My Shaykh, I was always observing his magnificence. So an individual came and said, Hazrat Sahib, dua kar diyo? And he said, yes, Babu, what dua do you want me to do? Hazrat Sahib said in his dialect, he said, Hazrat Sahib, there's a lot of difficulty. Remember, we always start from difficulty. He said, Hazrat Sahib, lot of difficulty at home. There's very difficult to spend. It's very difficult at home, poverty, family. I'm going to Dubai to get some work. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what he said in the dialect. What did he say? The Hazrat, extreme difficulty at home, distress is there. Hazrat Sahib said, yes, yes, okay, fine. Difficulty is there. And that I can't fulfill the expenses, he said. My wife, she's pestering me, the children are pestering me. So I'm thinking that I'll go to Dubai and I'll do some work there and I'll do this there. Then Hazrat Sahib said, yeah, that's fine. There, remember one point I'm going to make. That, you know, the God in Dubai, give him my salam when you get there. You know, when you go to Dubai, then the creator in Dubai, give him my salam. He said, Babu, here, the makhluk, don't they get tukar? Hazrat Sahib said, that where you are sat here, are they all hungry here, the people? In this country, in this land? Why? What was he thinking? Complaint. I won't get anything here, Allah will give me there. So, you can say this is one example of shirk maybe, that Allah's not here, He's not giving to me. Allah is in a different country, I'll get it there, but I won't get it here. So, this is a deep point about shirk here to consider. That I have this yaqeen that in Karachi I'll be hungry, but if I go to England I'll get something. With this knee, if a person takes the journey, it's shirk. This is shirk. Because he is another Lord, another creator, and another God here. Subhanallah. Somebody asked, MashaAllah, I'm not a mufti. No, this is my topic, but I heard this. I took a mashwara from Mufti Sahib. Somebody took a mashwara to Hazrat. If that I'm saying that I asked for apology, so I'm saying sorry, there's nothing to worry about, but I had this masala. Somebody asked the Mufti Sahib, the Hazrat Sahib, who's a big Mufti, if for earning, if we go to a non-Islamic place, especially in front of you, this dunya that we're sat in, all of us, where first transaction of Iman takes place, we see this, you know exactly what I'm saying, the environment, what's happening. And only that person who comes to earn the income. There's no other objective for anybody. So he said, Hazrat, if I go there to earn money or income with this intention, is that okay to go? Then, so Mufti Sahib, he included something in his reply. He said, if there's deen niyyah to do work of the deen, that's fine, otherwise it's shirk. Yes, what a big statement. Why? Because he said the right thing. Like I'm saying today. So what's the situation now? What's the punishment? The children will grow up, your daughters will grow up, your sons will grow up. At that time, Allah Ta'ala will take the iman. Don't take bad what I'm saying. I'm also with you. We are all naked in this situation. We are all in this situation. Remember this. Your children, their iman, we can see, assess what our iman is like. What's the state of our iman and faith? And tomorrow on the day of resurrection, qu anfusakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the children, when He gives children, do you know where they come from? The children? This fruit that grows, the apple, where does it come from? Where does it grow from? From the tree, the apple, it grows and it drops, isn't it? So the children, what's the system that Allah ta'ala created? That Allah ta'ala has kept the child first it originates from the male, because this the child is from the male, because the nasal, the children, the progeny comes from the male. And so you transfer that for this reason, that that is where it will be brought up in that realm. Look at the place that Allah Ta'ala has kept, where the particle meets the particle, like the Quran says, the matter from the male and the female, they meet, and Allah Ta'ala creates then the clot of blood, and then the child develops. So it's not the achievement of the woman. There's a space that Allah Ta'ala has given to the woman, but where does it originate from? From the male it originates, the nasl. Yes, this is the case, isn't it? Medically this is proven as well, and this is the reality. That's why the identity of the child runs from the father. And the connection is with the father, and the family connection is with the father, not from the mother. So that's why Allah says, "Qu anfusakum." Order, that's your responsibility. This ni'mah that I've given to you, it's your responsibility. Now what's your responsibility? That you have to save this child from the fire of Jahannam. In other words, your tarbiyah is required. Tomorrow if they wake up without iman, or as thieves, or they don't pray salah, then this hisab, not from the children, from you, you'll be accounted and reckoned. I gave you this as a trust, Allah Ta'ala says. Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. And today we're eating chicken and halal chicken, do this action, do that action, and big sacrifices we made, we think. But tomorrow, will you be able to give the hisab, the accounts for the children? Think about it. And every man has come for this reason. Yes, the Mufti Sahib gave the fatwa. It is shirk. Subhanallah. Why? Because we don't trust Allah. Just like Hazrat Sahib said, not mushrik, they give my salam to the Lord in Dubai when you get there. So the same Allah, if He's gonna give you poverty here, then why do you think that when you go somewhere else that poverty will go away? That one, Jahannam is open, and Jahannam is for that person. Listen to what I'm saying. You know, there's that verse that if you sit next to the fire, then you'll at least feel the heat, even if you don't get burnt. Yes? So you could try many times to save yourself from burning, but at least you will get the intensity of the heat, minimum, that will arrive to you. And whose intensity is that? How long does a child stay at home? Yes, because you give them the teaching, but he's a child, it's not the child's fault. How long will he stay at home? Every day cases come, this has happened to me today, that's happened, my child's done this. Even in today in the morning, I was going, walking, from behind, Peer Sahib, Peer Sahib, a woman shouted out, I said, what's this, some angel who's come? Oh, I was walking with speed, for walking, I was out for a walk. And I stopped, looked back. There was a woman, poor woman, she was crying. She had the niqab going to the room. I said, what's the issue? And she said, are you Peer Sahib? I said, I'm not a peer, but what's the matter? Peer is sat somewhere in some hujra. I'm just out here having a walk. And I said, yes, what's the issue? She then explained that my child is 16-year-old. He's doing this, he's doing that. And I just breathed a deep sigh. I said, a wazifa can give to you. What's a wazifa going to do? What's prayer going to do? That 16, 70 years he took the heat, the intensity from the fire. So it's not the fault of the child. Tell me. Two children are going to, I'm going to pray Salah in Darul Quran. I think this was a month and a half, 2 months ago, possibly. Two children. I think their ages were 13 years old, 14 years old. And I was just a short distance from them. I was amazed. My mouth dropped open. The door of the masjid was closed. And the other child said, when are you going to get married to me then? He said that the one person said to the other person, when are you going to get married to me? Children. So brothers, in this, there are not two opposing views. We have no issue with any culture or way of life. We have no hassle. We have no opposition. Where are you stuck at the moment, this moment in time? This is the question. Where are you stuck at this moment in time? Where's your position? We have come here to enhance our material status. Look, any ibadah cannot save a person. So just like I'm giving you these examples here, this disease or illness, a big disease, that complaining to Allah, to criticize, to make a fuss due to your difficulties, this is not the glory of a mu'min. What's the reason we do this? Because that disease inside us, we haven't worked on it. We haven't worked on it. We haven't improved it or eliminated it, eradicated it. So that's why we are not focusing or paying attention to the name of Allah. That mindset's not in there. We don't think, so what our children will be like then? What his children will be like? How will they be brought up then? So what preparation is this for the akhirah, for the hereafter? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is fikr, isn't it? This point that we're discussing today, is this not worth thinking about? Or is it not? For the akhirah, the hereafter. Think with regards to the hereafter. Look, don't think temporarily when I'm saying, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've done five hajj, I've done this, and I'm free now, and I've got Jannah. No. That this is a whole life that Allah has given to us, physically, spiritually, Islam. Fi silmi kaffa, Allah Ta'ala says completely. And Allah says, وَلَا تُتِبِهُ خُطُبَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. If you slip a little bit, then shaitan will attack you, and you'll be following his footsteps if you're not totally within the realm of Islam. Allah Ta'ala wants that totally 100% you enter into the boundary of deen, of sharia. Allah says through sharia, you should come into the door, into the realm. You should not depart through sharia. You're eating, drinking, waking, walking out, inside. There's no excuse to go away from this path at all. No fatwa, nothing at all. Sharia is a boundary. It's a complete circle with an outer boundary. If you leave the outer boundary, forget about leaving it. You shouldn't even go close to that boundary, otherwise you'll slip. As soon as you look outside that boundary, Allah says, then you will run after the footsteps of shaitan and you'll be out. So what have we done, tell me? Every single thing will be asked about. Today we're dependent, tomorrow we're dependent. What preparation have we made? There's no doubt that Allah is Rahim, Kareem, Fadl. He may forgive us for nothing. This is aqidah, total, isn't it? Alhamdulillah. Whoever's recited kalama, oh, he's free. He's forgiven. No doubt in that point. No doubt. But Allah Ta'ala has established principles in the Quran that your hisab will take place on these principles. At least look at that. Innaka la tukhliful miyad. When Allah Ta'ala speaks, He speaks. End of story. No one can reject what Allah is saying. So we need to look at that. The principles Allah has given to us. So this is the situation. So such a big learning, a point, a big defect within us, that we don't focus on Allah's ni'mas, we don't think about Allah Ta'ala's gifts and favors. Allah's ni'mas, Allah's favors and gifts, we don't even think about them. Rather we go against Allah Ta'ala's favors and gifts. Why has this happened? Why didn't that happen? Why did this happen like this? Why didn't it happen this time? Rather, how should we think? Oh Allah, no problem at all. You've given me this as well. You also gave me this as well. You also said this to me. I've also got this reward. So when the insan becomes like that, positive, la khawfun alayhim walahum yahzanun, then he has no fear, no grief at all. Allah inna awliya Allah. Allah Ta'ala praises his walis, his friends in this manner. They say subhanallah. Allah has praised them in this way. The definition of the wali, every moment, every second, they have no grief. They have no fear because they're always looking towards Allah. Allah, I'm so grateful to you, Allah, you've given this to me. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. But most definitely the things you didn't give to me, it's goodness for me. I didn't require that which you didn't give to me. And what do? The things that Allah Ta'ala didn't give to us, always we are desperate for them. That's why we sat here. Oh, I didn't get a car there, so we want to get a car. Come here and get a car. We don't have a house there, we want to come here and get a house. And for that, to attain that thing which is not in our destiny, or wasn't in our destiny, obviously, that we, when we try to attain it, then shaitan's paths open up. Haram, 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 haram. You'll get the things. But all of those things where they take you, and shaitan's very happy. First, he makes you run. And everyone is then traveling on the path to Jahannam to get what they want. And then you're tired, and then you stand for Salah. I'm praying Salah, is fine. It's okay, that's enough. Oh, Hajj and Umrah I'm doing as well. Yes, and he makes him spend money on traveling or worship. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying, or am I just talking for nothing? Are they beneficial what I'm saying to you? Tell me the truth. Is it beneficial, or am I just talking for nothing? So I'm coming here for my salah rectification. I'm benefiting definitely. Oh, I'm really benefiting from today's discussion, I have to say. Why? Why do we get scared of minor, minor things? For this reason, because inside us we don't have the habit, we haven't developed the habit that we praise Allah, focus on Allah's ni'mas, and of thinking and fikr and concern about Allah's gifts and favors. This is the reason why we get scared. Why did the walis of Allah didn't get scared? Yes, and he had a sickness. He didn't look at that, but we have a small sickness and it's massive sickness for us. And Allah's massive favor and gift, we think it's a minor. The nose, the hand, the stomach, the feet, all these ni'mas are great, but we are focused on the flu. Who have you seen? Oh, I've got flu today, I've got a cold. He's struggling. Who have you seen from morning to night? He will always mention to his difficulty. If you phone someone, oh yeah, it's too hard for me life. Just one difficulty he'll talk about. And thousands of ni'mas Allah Ta'ala has given, we don't focus on any of them. And this is the biggest shirk. That Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas, we don't mention them, is also that sin. Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas, we don't accept them. Allah's gifts, we don't remember them, we don't repeat them. Not having one is, even if you don't have these things that you want, that's why we do dhikr of Allah. What should happen? What should happen is that we should have a habit in this action, it should become natural, second nature for us. That any negative thing comes in our life which is against our desires, we are not even thinking about it. In comparison to that, we are constantly thinking about Allah's ni'mas and gifts and favors. Subhanallah. If you have to go on a journey, I'll give you an example. You're going on a journey and, you, for example, you want to go somewhere. What should happen if you're going, you're running and the flight departs and you miss it? What, rather than crying, you should say, Allah, you saved me from a calamity. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. He's not worried about that issue in life. He has no satisfaction about the difficulty. He's not crying about hunger or poverty. He says, India is very good. What shall I do there? My children are small. He sat in India and said, I'm fine. I'm not going to cross the other side of the world. You want me to make them without iman? That person who doesn't believe in Allah's name, he will run from his land. Oh, we're going to die here. India, we can't grow up here. My children. He thinks that he is the one who's achieving everything. Conditions are negative. And there's dunya and his efforts. And his hard work, normally when you talk to someone, yo, I worked hard, I did this, I did that, I achieved this. He's bringing all of his successes towards his achievement and his work that he did. At work, I developed a shop, I put stock in it, I ran it this way, it was down, I put stock in it, and I worked hard, I made the strategy, and I made a method of running the business. Everything, his good results, he assigns to himself, his own physical work he done. And Allah's ni'mas and gifts and favors, those people, they recognize that. They say, everything Allah Ta'ala did, I did nothing at all. Say Subhanallah. This is the gathering of the Sufis. That's why we repeat and we go into depth on the minor points. Because through these you attain Allah's nearness. Yes. This a great wali of Allah, I'm repeating his statement to you. Yes, his statement I'm repeating to you, wali Allah. That the more you repeat Allah's ni'mas and favors and you are grateful for them, the more you remember them and repeat them, the more Allah Ta'ala's love will increase inside you. Automatically you'll get Allah's qurb and his marifa and irfan and his muhabbat and his love. So much Allah elevates that individual. Allah says he is happy with whatever situation I've given to him. Allah says he's happy. He doesn't talk about dunya. And this is the biggest defeat that shaitan gets. That he hates that. That's why shaitan attacks people and makes them go down. Don't remember Allah's ni'mas and remember the negatives when he's not succeeding. When, for example, that person in the world, when he's got difficulty, problem, look at that time when he's sweating. Oh, this worldly task of mine is not succeeding. And depression and negative thinking, negative mindset, all salah gone, everything's gone. Yaar, this is not the way. That you cannot get Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas through negative. Say Subhanallah. So this feeling to develop it every second, every moment, you are grateful and remembering Allah's ni'mas and wisdoms. How can you develop that? How can you develop that state of life? This is a constant condition. To change yourself from the negative to the positive condition, say Subhanallah, that's what we need to work on. So how do we do this? How do we develop that condition? This is the question mark. That how do we go, لا خوفٌ عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, we arrive to that state. Doesn't matter if something's coming, happy. If it's not coming, happy. My Hazrat Sahib's statement is great. That there's no happiness for the person who's coming and there's no sadness for the person who's departing. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Sahib used to say this. He used to smile and say this. No worries. No sadness for the person who departs, no happiness for he who's coming, and no sadness for he who's departing. If he, his condition becomes like this, then he's a king. In the world, he's a king. He's got the sultanates, he's got the lands, he's got the kingdoms. He's got nothing to worry about, that person who thinks positively like this. But the others, like us, poor souls, every second crying, lamenting, complaining, criticizing dunya, deep sigh of complaint, then they depart from this world after all those years. So this condition to develop, say SubhanAllah, that this habit, if it comes into a person, that continuously, constantly, he's remembering Allah's rahmas, Allah's mercies, Allah's ni'mas. This is not an easy feat to achieve, is it? This is the main goal of life, through which Allah's nearness and irfan is attained. This is the hard work we need to do. This is the real success, the real win. Win-win situation. To attain this, it can't be that I'll give you a lecture now, and you hear it, and you become a... This doesn't happen like this, no. It's not through speeches and lectures you get success. Yes, I'm happy, I'm doing dua, I came to this Islahi majlis, I've done a lecture, let's do dua, I depart, I go, you go. Oh no, this is not my task, I have to answer to Allah tomorrow. Yes, Allah Ta'ala sent me some of His creation and I've got a connection with them. Then it'll be my duty to explain to them, innit? I said this, and doing or not doing is up to you. But it's my task, duty, and if I come and take a shortcut and I don't say, oh, let's do dua, let's go now. End of majlis, that's it, we finish now. Very great lecture, speech, great point I presented. No! So now we've got this message that from all of us, everyone should be that we are not remembering Allah's ni'mas, but we need to develop that condition. How do we do that? That's today's message. Whoever wants to do this, yes, it's my job to explain to you. I'm not pulling your leg or pestering you. It's up to you if you practice it. But really, those who have the desire for the akhirah, talab-e akhirah, who, if you take any action in your life, remember this, any action in your life, then Allah has explained 3 points in the Quran about any action that you do. Yes, you know better than me. You know better than me. Man arad al akhirah, one. This is the case, isn't it? Silence, sigh. Second point. And the tarteeb should be correct of the amal. So first condition is that when you're about to do an action that you want to attain Allah's nearness from that, you want Allah's nearness through the action, then the first point, criteria for the amal is the khalis, pure niyyah intention, that there should be no contamination in the action. What should be the niyyah? Maran aradul akhirah. That solely for the hereafter you are doing this action, this amal I'm doing. Time and time again repeat this intention, because shaitan, he attacks this niyyah. Because the 3 points I've told you, if one of them is out, then no amal is worthy of being successful. First point in any action you do, is you should have the intention for the hereafter. Second point in an action you do is that it should be the right method. That how physically should you implement and do this action? According to the Sharia style, to the Sharia manner. In that manner you should do the amal, the action. Third point, SubhanAllah. What is the third point? Aqeedah should be correct, the belief should be correct. Belief. He stated that these 3 criteria, if they're included in an amal, you're doing dhikr, reciting Quran, praying salah, especially for those people who are seeking Allah's nearness, a person, a traveler, the salik on the path of tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is a special amal, and a person's on the path of tazkiyah. Then to be successful, you have to have 3 criteria included in your actions. That's solely the niyyah for thereafter, for Allah's sake, in other words. Now I've come to dhikr, no other thing do I need, I have no connection with anything else, I'm just afraid of the night in the grave, I'm afraid of the night, the day of resurrection, Allah save me from that, I'm doing this action for the preparation for the hereafter. Time and time again repeat this niyyah, that's why shaitan attacks. Second point criteria. The second criteria whenever you do an action, that totally that action should be such, that inside the action, there should be no non-Sharia inclusion. That action you're doing should be within the boundary of Sharia. Pure tariqah, pure method. That is the second point. And third, his aqeedah should be totally strong. Aqeedah, faith, belief. Why do our deeds fail? Because one of these three criteria is not there. Either the intention is not there, or it's not within the sharia requirements according to the sharia. It's not. Or the aqeedah is wrong. The belief is wrong. When these three criteria are spoiled, but if the three are there, فَأُولَيْكَ كَانَ سَائِمْ مَشْهُورًا. Allah says, Subhanallah. That Allah says, these three criteria you have strengthened, you do any action you started, then your Rabb promises to your Lord. It's not necessary that you are completing the action, but your effort I will accept, Allah Ta'ala says. Your effort I will accept. This is Quran. Sa'im Mashkura. So my brothers, my colleagues, if in anything you want to practice in a deed or action, we fail for this reason. Either our intention is weak, or we have some other intention or strategy, or through this action I'll get X, Y, Z. That amal, you're doing it, but for some other reason. Or that action's not being done according to the right way. Here, listen to this point, then I'll explain the second criteria more. That, for example, this amal we have to do, that we want Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas and favors. We want this, don't we? We want this, yes? Allah's ni'mas and favors. And to attain this, three things are necessary that Allah has mentioned, these three criteria. Is your intention correct? That you are doing this for the hereafter? Yes. And you want to do it totally according to the sharia. And the third is your aqeedah solid? Correct? This is the point, isn't it? Quran is saying this. So these three criteria are there. Then if these three criteria are with you, then if you make effort to attain this, that we every second, we want to be focused on Allah's ni'mas, then 100% you'll get a high maqam. You'll get a high maqam. But from these three things, if you want Allah's nearness, you're focusing on Allah's ni'mas. If you have these three things with you all the time, Allah has given us a method to acquire these three criteria. Allah says, you'll get this. Proper tariqah, you will do the actions with the three criteria. Qunu ma sadiqeen, Allah says. Do this then. This is called taqwa, isn't it? To attain these three things. Yes, the right niyyah, the right method according to sharia, and with right qidah. This is called taqwa. So Allah says, to attain this, go to my friend, a pious person. Because when you go to his company, then these three criteria you will attain. Your intention will be correct. It will be according to the sharia you amal. And third, your aqiyah will be 100% correct. So when you arrive to the company of the teacher and you make effort, and when you do the right effort, then don't worry, you keep on making effort. And even if you go left and right, but you are trying hard and you haven't taken a U-turn, then Allah says, Sa'im Mashkura. Then don't be scared, don't be afraid. Just as you continue, Allah says, I will accept your effort and give you Jannah. That's why we go to the company of the Mashaykh Ikram, the Honorable Mashaykh. This is the tartib, a methodology Allah has given to us in the Quran. So a person who doesn't want to go to a sheikh, a teacher, he can never attain success, that individual who doesn't want a teacher. A person who doesn't want to, if you're going, you're not going to the sheikh for any other reason, there's no worldly connection. We don't want nothing worldly from there. This just have one action, one task. What? That inside us, we want to develop those three criterion, that every difficulty, every problem, every issue, every position, we have just one mindset, that Allah, your ni'mas, I just want to keep on remembering your ni'mas and gifts. Yes, and the biggest difficulty is coming, but we go opposite in our thinking. That's when, oh, it's alright, Allah's given me this as well, and good thing. For example, you become sick. You become sick. Yes, a severe sickness has come to you. What do we do? What does that man start thinking? Who's got to this maqam, who's worked hard and developed? You have to work hard, isn't it? You have to work hard on these three things in the company of the sheikh. That's why the sheikh makes you practice this and develops this totally. Otherwise, what else is he making you practice? And those three people become successful who run in their life with their sheikh, with their right intention, with sharia, and with their aqeedah. They will never fail in their lives. Never. Fail always the student in the company of the sheikh is the who is weak in one of those three connections. That's why I stated that totally follow the footsteps of the sheikh, the teacher. Just as the sheikh says, follow that advice. Follow that advice and go into that circle, into that boundary. According to that, the sheikh will direct you every action of his, every hikmah, every action of tarbiyah he instructs you will be totally according to the sharia. And you need aqeedah solid for that. So your niyyah should be right. The method, follow what he says and guides you. But then if your aqeedah is not correct, oh no, I can't do this, then you're weak. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will never fail as a student. So Allah Ta'ala said, you won't fail. You are successful. End of story. You took the hand of the Shaykh, his guidance. According to his verbal instructions, you're trying. He said, do follow the Shi system. You do it. If he says, do this, you do that. Just as he does your tarbiyah, and he gives you, points you in the direction, you close your eyes and follow that path. Even if you're weak and you're up and down, women or men, everyone's listening to me. All my murids, murideen, men and women, women and men, everyone's listening. Everyone's listening. With aqeedah, with belief, with faith, do your work. But the condition, just as the Shaykh says, you must do that. Just as the Shaykh says, you must do that. Yes, whoever looks left and right. For example, if the Shaykh says, be careful about halal and haram. Be careful about halal and haram. Yes, do halal actions. Okay? Now, yes, I had degrees, I had job offers in front of me. Started to tear them up, the certificates. Slowly, slowly. Everything finished. Job, nothing. No job. I'm telling you, the step by step you have to follow the instruction, guidance of... What shall I do now? I thought, food, drinks, finishing. No groceries. Where are we? We sat down. Allah, the instruction was, must earn halal, not haram. Yes, I'm telling you what I heard from my ears. Yes, I'm not a big man. I'm just sharing with you so that your courage and determination increases. So you also learn how to leave, to attain Allah's nearness. You have to leave some things in the world as well. According to the Shaykh's instruction, he said, be careful between halal and haram. Distinguish properly. And halal, don't go to haram. So poverty started. Hunger started. Nothing's there at home. Then a friend came. Friend came, as I said, Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. Maybe he's listening to what I'm saying, that brother, very old friend of mine. Old friend. Maybe he's listening. He said, in Punjabi, he said to me, that you look a bit distressed, Farooqi sahib. I said, no distress, no problem, nothing special. He said, you're not working? I said, no. He said, huh? You are a university graduate. His eyes were glaring open. You're a university graduate. I said, no, it's not a halal day entirely. It's a little bit challenging. There's a bit of doubt in that work. He said, well, you're not working. You need to work. He said, do you want to work? I said, yes. He said, there's a factory. You have to sweep the broom in the night shift. I said, yeah, that's fine. 3 years this faqir swept the broom there. 3 years. And no salah was delayed, alhamdulillah. No fast was discarded. Totally mujahid, the effort with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace. Yes, I remember this. How I used to go there, I had no car, I had to go far. It was Sun Blessed was the name of the factory. And different people used to work. There was a chairman, and he used to make me work here or there. I was an expert in that physical work. Sometimes make this bread, the hands used to get burnt. Sometimes this happened. Whatever happens. Shaykhs, and I put the hand in my hand, Shaykh's hand. I want to find Allah's nearness. Man arad al-akhirah. The Shaykh is not looking at me. But the Shaykh's not physically with me. He sat there in Gadai Sharif, and I'm sat in Bolton Sharif. UK, subhanAllah. So I could think, oh, he's very far, he's not watching, but I'm doing it for he, Allah is watching, ma kuntum bainakum, Allah is watching, he's next to me. Yes, I'm not doing it to show the Shaykh, I'm doing it to show Allah, I want to attain Allah's nearness. The Shaykh is the wasila, the means, the teaching. So how many years after today, I've forgotten, then I'm sat in front of you today and doing the dhikr of Allah. So have I not got the fruit? What a great fruit. What a great fruit. What is that? That I'm sat in front of you and I'm doing that action for which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that when your death comes, then your tongue should be moist and repeating the dhikr of Allah. One hadith, we are doing amal on that with the grace of Allah. Is there great achievement in this? If after sacrificing the whole world, I could have been a big manager today, career, profession, a director in a firm, some big post, and I could be probably retired already, I'd be on a pension, what would have attained then? But alhamdulillah, I took the hand of a Shaykh, followed his instructions, and just as he said, I did totally. Yes, whatever difficulty came, I didn't run away from it. The tarbiyah he gave to me, I followed that path. And what's the conclusion today? That pious people like you, wali zalwa like you, a child, person like me, sat in front of you, pious people, and such a great honor that I'm sat with you. Yes, what capability do I have? I'm not worth anything. You are pious people, good people, murids, and mashallah, saleh and righteous, upright. Allah has given me the tawfiq that I'm allowed to sit in front of you and do dhikr. Otherwise, what position did I have? I had nothing. I didn't have anything before, not even now. So this great favor on me, is there anything greater favor than this on Allah than on us, on me? So say subhanAllah. So what we learn, that look at this here. Don't look at the space, look at the effect. The effect. The du'as of the Nabis. That after 40 years a prophet's du'a has been accepted. After 100 years the du'a has been accepted sometime. They were prophets. We're not even prophets. So for the du'a to be accepted is lazim. If you are stood on that path, the 3 points I told you, don't worry. Establish them. When it happens, it's Allah's hikmah. But the fruit, you will definitely acquire it. I gave you an example, a non-worthy example of my own, and I gave you the demonstration. It's not that, what did I get after that? Not that I got palaces or mansions, or I got 3-4 houses, 2 or 3 on rent, and 3-4 I've bought. My brothers, I'm nothing. I've got nothing. I've got nothing to money. Nothing at all. This, that for example, I should got the fruits in this world. I gave big sacrifices for the deen. I worked hard and I worked 3 years in a factory. I gave my career, my profession. What did I get? Alicia should have 4 or 5 houses or a factory or business or something. Enterprise, I've got none of that. More than that though, I've acquired more than that. Why? Have I got more? Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlvi, he was a child. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddis, he was playing in Delhi, he came in. And his father was Shah Rahim Muhaddis Dehlvi, great sheikh. He said, Waliullah, to his son, where have you come from? He said, Abu, from outside. Baba, what were you doing? He said, outside. He said, father, I was playing. He was a child playing. And then he asked a question to his father. Father, he said, what were you doing? He said, I was playing. He said, I was playing, what were you doing? And he replied, that I was doing that action that was forevermore. And you were doing the action that has just evaporated. He said, father, how's that? He said, the action you have just done outside, that's finished. Playing. You played, played, finished. Yes. But the action that I'm doing, that's forever and ever established. He said, Baba, what's that? He said, I was doing the dhikr of Allah. Then he became Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlvi. This is the tarbiyah of the father to his child. Look how he did it. How he inserted that fruit into his heart. That dhikr of Allah is forevermore. That I got the universe, this world and palaces and cars. But subhanAllah is in my life, that is forevermore. This is Allah's fadl. I've got it today, maybe tomorrow I won't have it. But behind me is the dua of my shaykh, inshallah. Until death it will stay with the fadl of Allah. If the shaykh's dua wasn't there, then I could say that I have no guarantee. But Hazrat Sahib has given me the dua for this, that I've got total yaqeen, belief, inshallah, death will come with the dhikr, inshallah. That's the focus you should have on the link with the shaykh, the teacher. So do an action, do khidmat, serve your teacher that he does dua for you. Because dua doesn't just come that he'll do in front of you in your mouth. No, no, he'll do dua that time when you're slept, asleep. When you're asleep. Wallahi, he will do dua for you at that time when you don't even know he's doing dua for you at that time. Dua, you don't request it. Remember this. You earn the dua. Remember this, subhanAllah. That's the khidmat you should do for a waliyullah shaykh. That dua should be earned. That automatically his eye when he opens, first and foremost, your face is in front of him and he's doing dua for you. And the individual whose dua is being done for, he doesn't even know. So this, brothers, is a beautiful, unique relationship. You know, the faqir, tasawwuf, this line, this path, tasawwuf, the shaykh student, this is the real relationship. This is the genuine path of life. I'm telling you the honest truth openly. When all knowledge ends, this starts, this ulum. Everything else is forgotten at that time. Yes, that's why Mulana Rum, Rahmatullah, he didn't just throw all of his worldly things and he went to the woods and to the river. They said, what have you done here? He said, I've discarded the dunya, yes. He said, this is a big restriction, barrier for me, this dunya that I've set aside. Now I'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Said Hazrat Mawlana Rum, rahmatullahi alayhi. So the dunya becomes a barrier, becomes an obstacle. There should be one objective only, no other objective. What is that? Allah is our objective. That's it. So this is the path to attain Allah's nearness that we've discussed today. What was that in summary? That every moment you should be focused, paying attention to Allah's ni'mas, grace. Difficulty comes, calamity comes. Don't forget Allah. Don't look at the difficulty, look at Allah's ni'mas. For example, I'll give you an example. You become sick suddenly. And in the state of illness, I'm in a bad state. So what am I saying at that time? What am I thinking? What should I be thinking? Allah, I'm grateful to you that I've got this medicine. I've got a bed. Oh, I'm grateful to you, Allah, that at least there are people looking after me, serving me. Alhamdulillah, somebody's coming to me and giving me food. There's food at home. So look at the benefit. That despite being sick, but so many positives are present in my life for that person. Yes, I'm being attended to, serve, the doctors are here, I'm being given medicine and food, I'm being given the cure. Then there's somebody bringing me and taking me. All the resources are running. Allah, I'm grateful to you. He forgets the sickness and he focuses on the positives. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala, he gave him the sickness as a test. When Allah sees that this servant is remembering me more, he's passed. Allah Ta'ala then eliminates that disease as well. That's gone as well. So this is a very big path and resource to attain Allah's marifah, muhabbat, irfan. What is that? The biggest ibadah is this, that inside us we develop this condition, we develop it, that every moment, every second, in every situation of life, we are remembering Allah's ni'mas and favors and gifts. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the routine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-mursaleen. Shafi'in al-mursaleen. Taha wa yasin al-habib al-alim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Nabi. لا إله إلا أنت ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم شهداء وصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم استغفرنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في سمرته يا كريم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم بارك لنا في الموت فيما بعد الموت اللهم إنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلايات يا شافي الملاذ اشف ملازمنا جو مردات بیمار ہیں ہمارے ہلکے میں یا باہر میں جن دعاؤں کے لیے گئے اللہ پاک ہم سب کو شفا کامل عاجل نصیب فرما یا شافی الملاذ اشف ملازمنا یا شافی الملاذ اشف ملازمنا ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرۃ اعین واجعلنا للمتقین اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانی صغیرا ہمارے ایک ساتھی سفر پر جا رہا ہے آج جس کام کے لیے جا رہا ہے اس کے لیے دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ اس کے کام میں برکت دے اس کام میں اس کے لیے خیر اور برکت اللہ تعالیٰ اس کام کو مکمل فرما دے اگر خیر اور برکت نہیں دینے والا تو اس سے دور فرما دے اس سے دور فرما دے اور اسے اچھی جگہ بھیج دے جہاں پر اس کی خیر اور برکت ہے میرے مولا اس کا سفر آسان فرما اور خیری خوفے سے واپس صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وعلی صحب اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ